deals, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez live.
They come into America. They come into America. They come into America. They come into America today. Today.
Your program. Your calls.
Today.
Your opinions. Live.
Hey, we want to support your opinions with facts and the truth, because, you know, if it's all only opinion, then, you know, that rules in the absence of fact. And this is why some people want to ignore the facts, because they like living in their opinions. You know, that's just the way it is. The fact of the matter is that people are still coming to America. And why? I mean, because they're knuckleheads, they don't know better. Oh, no, it's because, you know, they see what's happening in their own homeland. And comparatively, when they look at America, and this is what troubles the leaders of other nations, is we are a glaring contrast to what they're offering their citizenship and their people. You know, their people are starving, they're sex slaves, they're being oppressed. Forget about any kind of human dignity and rights that run the entire spectrum. Why would you not want to come to America? Now, if you buy in to what some of the elite educators and professors would want you to believe, I can understand how your perspective can be prejudiced. But I would say to you, do your work, do your homework. If they're not teaching you history and they're not answering you a truthful question with a truthful answer, then it's up to you. It's your responsibility. See, at the very foundation of this country is self-responsibility. And it's all about self-rule. Our founding fathers said that if, you know, when you consider the U.S. Constitution, that it was designed for a people, a moral people. You take morality out of it, and you have today's America taking place. And this is the huge disturbance in the force that we are experiencing right now, is that we've abandoned morality. And morality, it has to do with the mores of a culture. Okay, this is, you know, and this is a little bit different than ethics, but yet, where do you derive your morals? In the early years of our founding, our morals were derived from the Word of God. We have since determined that we know better, and as Dr. Alvita King had noted earlier, in 1963, the government said, oh, no Ten Commandments in the classroom. We're not going to do that anymore, because they said they knew better. And it was all a concerted move that had been taking place for, you know, at that time, about 100 years. Because I think the big turning point of this country goes back to Darwin. Not that it immediately made an impact, if you remember, in his Origin of Species. It took a while. But what it did was it opened the door to the antagonist, the people that were antithetical to God, the people that said, hey, I don't want no God to be the boss of me. You know, he's not sovereign. I'm sovereign. I'm the king of my castle. I need no God here. And so that enterprise and that thought, you know, I believe drew Genesis there here in America. Of course, you could say it's been around forever, you know, going back to the garden. You always had that antithetical. You've got the force of God, and you've got to have the counterforce of the evil one. But here in America, I look back and I say, okay, back at let's go to Darwin and understand where we took a turn. And then from there, they took over education system at the turn of the century, and here we are today. And the forces have influenced a secular society to the point that we have a most recent former president declaring that we are no longer a Christian nation. And the price that we're paying for it today is rather dire. Well, our next guest, and we've been looking forward to this conversation, being a guitar player myself and having owned several Fender guitars in my lifetime, you got to know how eager I was to have a conversation with Phyllis Fender, the wife of Leo Fender, the late Leo Fender, the inventor of the electric guitar, and Dr. Randall Bell also joins us in this conversation. Phyllis and Randall, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good morning to you.
Well, I got to tell you, when I told my son, Phyllis, I was going to be talking to the wife of the inventor of the Fender guitar, of course, he reminded me that he is in possession of my Fat Strat, which I told him that has to be returned post-haste, by the way. But your husband, the impact that he made in the world of music and specifically with the guitar is legacy.
It is kind of a wonderful mystery how it all happened. He, just a little old farm boy, born in the barn, and all of a sudden, after several years of tinkering, the world knows his name and his children, which is what he called his guitars.
Yeah.
All of his children.
All of his.
It was all of a sudden it was there.
So not even in a log cabin, we're talking a barn. Now, was this in, Phyllis, was this in Southern California? Where exactly was he born? Because I knew the factory was in Fullerton. And
right.
I'd been told many times that I was going to be given the tour there, but that never quite happened. But I was always looking forward to it. But like I said, I've personally owned, several Fender guitars along my way. So, I'm sorry, he was born where?
Well, his father was a farmer, and right on the edge of Fullerton and Anaheim, he had a little farm, and that's where they built the barn first before they built the house. So when it came time for Leo to be born, there was no house yet. So here he came. The stork had to leave him in the barn. And
yes.
He was just a casual old guy, you know. It was a good life, hard life, but good.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Bell, for you to get involved and be the co-author, we've known you for other books and other things that you have written about. How did you get involved with Phyllis and Fender Guitars?
Well, sure, Bill. I grew up in Fullerton. My mom is 95. She lives two blocks away from the Fender home here. And as I said, my dad worked for Fender in the R&D department. So literally our kitchen table was made out of Stratocaster cut wood. And Freddie Trevorrous played at Leo and Phyllis's wedding. He also played at my sister's wedding. So it was all kind of part of the experience of growing up here in Fullerton. It's really a thrill to finally get the story out about Leo Fender in the book, because nobody knows about him. He's so quiet.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing, Phyllis. Even the title of the book, The Quiet Giant Heard Around the World. What is most important about Leo? Obviously, is his passion and his focus, as you say. He considered his creation, his guitars, as his children. I mean, in a sense, it's almost like Pinocchio, isn't it?
Well, he didn't tell any lies.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying that the Fender Stratocaster all of a sudden started elongating because musicians tried to say they were better than they were. No, that wasn't it. It was only just from the standpoint of of him being the craftsman that he was.
Well, Leo loved to tinker with anything that he could plug in or make it better was always what he thought. Every day he found something new to make better. And he just felt that musicians needed a better thing going, especially the guitar musicians. They weren't being heard. And they were playing as hard as everybody, and nobody heard them in the big band.
Right.
And he came across some musicians, some guitars, and they really, really got him to thinking, what can I do to help these guys be heard?
Yes.
And it was a simple act like that that started the whole guitar train.
Amazing. And the tinkerer starts tinkering. And, develops the genesis of Fender Guitars, its story, history. And we're going to talk more with Phyllis Fender and also Dr. Randall Bell when we come back. Stay with us, America. It's 18 minutes before the top of the hour.